Regel yesterday. So how does Regel teach us about Talmud Torah? How do you learn with your feet? Seems odd. One thing to learn with your teeth, you get Hana when you're learning. How do you learn with your feet? So that question you have to pose to David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, the parak that has 8 psukim for each letter. But parak we read sometimes lists Eloi Nishmas, a person, we read the 8 psukim for each letter of their name. Under the Cheses, David HaMelech writes, Chishavti Durachai, I calculated my roots. David HaMelech was Waze before Waze, GPS. I calculated my roots. V'yashiva raglai el edosecha. And yet my feet kept turning me back to your edos, to your Torah. Chishavti derachai. I thought about the various roots. V'yashiva raglai el edosecha. So the Medrash in Parshas Duchot Kosa elaborates on this pasuk. Every day I woke up, David HaMelech says, and I had a big plan for that day. People to see, places to go, things to do. And my feet walked me to the Beis Medrash. My feet walked me back to the Beis HaKnesses. Very, very intriguing Medrash. My feet walked me back to the Beis HaMedrash. Adam, where's Adam?
Ask our guys to be a little more neighborly, just teasing. Guys, you want to shut the door, please? Thanks.
Okay, so what it seems is if David HaMelech, as the king, has very legitimate places to be and interests and responsibilities. The Gemara says in Brachos that David HaMelech would wake up at midnight to learn. Because he knew that when the day struck, there'd be no time to learn. Ein ha-kometz masbia tari, the Gemara says. I have to run an economy, social agenda, military, politics. I have to try to build a Beis HaMikdash, discover with a very, very busy agenda. Typically, people that learn Torah, they learn Torah by cheating the schedule. Now you don't have to cheat your schedule because it's built in. Think of the people you knew growing up that learned Torah, seriously. Parents, uncles, people in the community. It generally was because they cheated their schedule. Close the door, please. Man. They got up early, they stayed up late, they learned during their lunch. The schedule of life, unfortunately, the modern world doesn't allocate time for Talmud Torah. David HaMelech had to cheat the schedule, had to beat the schedule, had to sacrifice the schedule. So we have many things to think about, and he has these big plans, but somehow he always made it back to the Beis HaMedrash with his feet. The word that David HaMelech is describing in English, I'll tell you the word in English, it's a metaphor, it's an imagery, is conditioning. Okay. David HaMelech had many places that he needed to be at, but he had this muscle memory that had to go to shul. That the daven, that I have to learn. When you learn because of a passion, or you visit someplace because of a passion, that's typically associated with your heart. It's a body part that feels passion, or at least in cultural imagery that we associate with passion, or values, or belief, possibly the head, without discriminating now between head and heart. Part of religious growth is not just developing conviction, belief, ideals. Part of it is just conditioning yourself to do certain things and it becomes second nature to you. And that's typically associated with the regel because you're conditioned to walk in a way that you're not even conscious of walking, as we talked about yesterday. It's the most basic experience. And that's part of what we're trying to work on this year in many different areas. A little bit of Talmud Torah, certainly with tefillah. Tefillah is probably the great conditioner of life where you just condition yourself that I'm going to go to shul 3 times a day. Whether it means coming late to the event or to the movie or to the game or coming home late at night and running across town for the 11 o'clock minyan, unless you're obviously exhausted or sick, or getting up early. And it becomes part of your rubric, part of your background. Obviously, that's the challenge of tefillah. You don't want it to be solely background. You want it to be also something passionate. But as a baseline, create the sense that you visit the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day, no matter what happens. Part of davening, we'll talk about this after Yom Tov, is not just the kavana you have, but just being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a community of people. There's a very interesting article in the New York Times a few months ago. It's very well known that at the age of around 45, 50, midlife, many males fall into depression. Many males fall into deep depression, midlife crisis, or worse. high rate of suicide. And essentially, the gist of the article was they fall into very, very socially confined experiences. Women are more garrulous and sociable by nature, so they have friends, friends at work, friends they speak to, friends they get together. And men tend to sink into their couch and their sports and their hobbies, and they just don't have anyone in their lives, and that doesn't lead to healthy social interaction, which leads to emotional stress and emotional frustration. And as I was reading that article, I was asking myself, okay, so I'm a person that by definition knows a lot of people, but let's say I was just a regular Jew in a long shvut, and like everyone is, I am a regular Jew, but let's say I just followed social patterns based on, I would have to say built in community. 3 times a day I get together with a couple hundred people or a couple dozen people, I say hello to them. Even if I'm not the most sociable person, I'm saying hello, I'm interacting, we belong to a shul, belong to a community, Shabbos, Yantar. Communal interaction is built into Yiddishkeit, and that leads to mental and emotional health. And with Torah as well. With Torah as well. There's the Torah that you're passionate about. I want to finish Maseches. I want to learn the following sugya. I'm intrigued by Sefer Yirmiyahu. But then there's part of learning that's just a routine. You learn because, and when a day passes and you don't learn, as it will, should be a certain feeling. Like those of you who exercise daily, when you miss a day of exercise, those who play music, those, what are the parts of your emotional welfare that are just built in so deeply, so hotwired to whom you are, that when a day passes, you actually miss it? So, Shlein Mikra Vechatargum is a bit conditioning. I can't promise you that every single week of every single year of your life you'll be excited to learn Shlein Mikra Vechatargum in the same way that I hope studies will excite you. But it's a sense of creating routine. In modern parlance, it's called muscle memory. It's not something you have to think about. It just happens automatically. You just slip into it. So that's the learning of Regel. That's the learning not of a lev or of a rosh, but that's what David HaMelech says. Chishavti Derachai had all these plans and responsibilities, but my legs always carried me back to the Beis HaKnesses. My legs always carried me back to the Beis HaMedrash. Chishavti Derachai V'yashiva Raglai Elei Dasecha. And we'll talk about it as the weeks evolve and when we come back about why just your learning how to keep a schedule. I mean, I'll say this to you a lot this year. But I'll say it once now for you to think about over Shabbos, and you've seen it over the past couple of weeks. I'll quote Woody Allen, as strange as it sounds. Woody Allen once said, 90% of success in life is just showing up. And you'd be surprised how hard it is for people to show up consistently in a disciplined fashion. If you're there, you're 90% successful. The 10% offset is how tired you may or may not be, how successful or how qualified you may or not be, but just showing up and being there in more ways than one, but fully being there. And I know it's hard, and we've set the bar really high, and I want to give you a really big yeshkoach. I was talking to Elimelech Perl's father, and just reminding about how strenuous yeshiva here really is. And on the one hand, you guys are really, really to be commended for applying yourselves. On the other hand, just realize we're setting the bar high, and that's going to really help you down the line. And it's really creating aspiration and drive and success, and you'll feel it. And the other approach, where everything's very easy and accommodating for the first couple of weeks, and some take that approach, and some boys really won't or need that approach, the challenge becomes later in the year to ratchet up expectations and to create ambition. And here, I think the first 2 weeks you're here, it's built into the woods, in the water. You're expected to perform, expected to work, and people around you are working, and that creates a bit of a jolt, and we've tried to cushion and pad the jolt, but just realize that this is a schedule that is very, very demanding and very challenging, and mentally and emotionally, and it's great to take a break and to relax and unwind. But once you succeed in this type of schedule, and you have that conditioning, and you can keep schedules, and you can work through fatigue, and you can exert discipline, I'm telling you, you'll be successful, not just in learning. These are the keys to success. If I were running a boot camp for emotional and adolescent development, I would basically be applying the first 2-3 weeks of Elul. Obviously, it's a lot different accents, but these are life skills. Getting up, working through fatigue, generating confidence when you're overwhelmed, pulling yourself together, competing with people that may have skills that you don't have, but realizing your own skills, and all the things you've been thinking about the last 2 weeks in yeshiva, even outside of a religious framework, absolutely crucial. But it's a conditioning. It's a conditioning to just do things, not just when you feel like them, not just when you're passionate, not just when you're healthy, not just when you're excited, just to train yourself every single day. Those of you, I said, who exercise, who play instruments, yeah, you can appreciate the importance and the value of conditioning. We also spoke about Regel being Derech Hilucha, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin. So obviously, Another aspect of learning Torah is to learn Torah derech hilucha. What does it mean to learn Torah derech hilucha? So I think there are two aspects, a literal and a more metaphoric. The literal is, travel is one element of human experience. Humans travel. Humans are really the only creature that travels. Animals migrate. Migration is instinctive for food, for mating, for weather patterns. Human beings travel consciously to visit people, to exchange good, to conduct trade, to get away from yeshiva for Shabbos. People travel cognitively, creatively, which is why when we travel, we recite a Tfilas HaDerech, because we're participating in a uniquely human experience, and we thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for endowing us with the ability not just to travel for food, but to travel to meet people, to discover ideas, to visit Hashem's earth. People travel. And inasmuch as travel is one aspect of the human condition, so you want to try to learn when you're traveling. Again, it doesn't mean it has to be the only aspect, but those people that travel extensively. I don't travel that much, but it's only during the height of the interview season and the admissions process. I'm on planes pretty frequently, and I'm meeting a lot of interesting people, as you know, travel much more frequently than myself. I should just stand on the side for a moment, and then you'll get sure after I'm finished, okay? And it's very impressive to me to see how people maintain their learning, especially in an electronic age, maintain their learning even when they're traveling. And most people, when they travel, they basically tell themselves, I'm going to shut down until I get to where I have to arrive at. That's too difficult for me. And the mental tenacity and emotional interest means that when you travel, you should try to spend some time learning Torah. Obviously, there are many other challenges and opportunities when you travel. But certainly, especially when you're engaged in long-distance travel, it shouldn't be a no-Torah zone or a no-Torah experience. Derech Hilucha should be an opportunity. One of the more creative interpretations of Rabbi Shimon's very harsh statement relates to what I just said. Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah, "Hamhalech b'derech ve'omer man noa ilan zeh mischayev v'nashel." So the unadorned meaning of this Mishnah in Perkei Avos, if you stop your learning to look at a tree, but to appreciate nature, you're chayev misa. That would be very harsh. Some people interpret it and say literally that you're chayev misa, but in the literal sense, as a hyperbole, is demonstrating how important Torah learning is. But another interpretation is, Rav Shimon's real point is that when you travel, you should be learning as well. You shouldn't just be looking at trees and looking at lakes. And there's a certain beauty, and every time of learning has its own dynamic. Learning at night has one feeling, learning during the day has another feeling, learning on Shabbos has a third feeling. You should be able to, just like you are able to differentiate your tefillos by different emotional states and different experiential frameworks, at some point Torah should have that feel. There's a certain type of Torah you learn when you're tired, and a certain feel when you learn in the morning when you're feeling. Starting to feel that a little bit at night and in the morning, and obviously once you become more emotionally mature and emotionally self-aware, you can flavor your different types of learning with different emotional feelings. Less so than tefillah, because tefillah is a patently emotional experience. Torah is a patently intellectual experience. But travel has its own form of learning. How do you learn? What do you learn when you travel? What type of learning? What type? To me, there's certainly a feel that I have, having spent so much time on planes, and the feel that I have of my learning on a plane. And when I get on a plane and I learn, I'm in a different space emotionally than when I'm learning in the base matters or learning at home. I feel something unique in my Torah, something unique in my learning. But metaphorically, derech hilucha doesn't just mean when you're traveling. Metaphorically, derech hilucha means, as we talked about yesterday, just without cognitive, conscious decision. Now we're learning. You're in shir. So this is a decision. These are, today's shir will end, I told you, you guys will end no later than 11:10. So we've highlighted, let's see if you're listening, we've demarcated a certain amount of time for learning, 10:10, certain amount of time for learning, and this is when we're learning, and this is our Seder. But now when you're walking, lunchroom, in your room, always a big question, a big hak in yeshiva. What's the conversation at the lunch table? Okay, I don't think there's one answer to that question. I don't think this conversation is limited only to the lunch table. But has Torah become deeply enough ingrained that you talk about it even when you're not learning? Let's put it that way. Even when it's not learning time. You're just walking through this world, and not just literally walking, but you're in your room. As I told you so often, that's the real way to learn Torah. The Rav became the Rav, not because he had a great Rebbe when he was young and a great mind, although he had that as well. It was just, that was the table talk. I imagine every night in the Soloveitchik home, when they ate their bean soup, whatever they're eating, They talked about the logic of Torah. They talked about sugyos. They talked about ideas. And the Rav probably knew Torah before he ever opened a Gemara, because he had talked about the whole system. Okay, now, oh, that's where the Gemara says what my father was telling me 3 years ago. That's where Tosis applies. Tosis nun vav. And I'm sure when he got to this Tosis, and they had meaning to him because he had already seen the framework. Okay, no one here is on the Soloveitchik track, sadly enough. But think about, in a healthy sense, don't ever posture or project inauthenticity just to create. That's a very, very dangerous way. Although sometimes you have to fake it to make it. Sometimes when you fake it, you then make it. It's more genuine. But think about, you're able to discuss when with a friend, when you're walking. Not just when you're walking, but when you're sitting around and it's just downtime. As I'll talk about Sichas Chulin, when you listen to Sichas Chulin from Melech HaChamim, part of it is obviously not just their Torah talk, but their general demeanor and the general interaction. Hopefully it should be dignified and Torah reflective. But also because that's what people talk about. So all these jokes that I'm making, by the way, every joke that I make has an agenda. Multiple layers of agenda. Part of the jokes that I'm making is to take Torah out of the classroom. You're walking down the street, you're at alumnus party, whatever. You're playing for the Alouettes. All these things to take Torah and to turn it from something that's cloistered in the base medrash and that you segment experientially and mentally to something that spreads over your whole life and becomes organic and becomes part of whom you are in an integrated fashion. That's, I think, what Torah of Regel is as well. Derech Hilucha in a figurative sense, not just when you're walking, but as part of your Hiluch, part of your day to day. So we talked about the Torah of Chain and we talked about the Torah of Regel. Now let's learn a little bit about actual Bor. I'll show you how to get the chair. Okay? Let's talk about Bor. Okay?